You are now plugged into Action Features.
What's up, man?
What it is?
Hey, it's a new episode of Action Features. I have no idea what number it is. I'm not even gonna.
I don't know either. Don't even guess.
I'm not even gonna guess.
Please don't.
I'm gonna guess.
All right.
I'm gonna guess it's in the 120s somewhere. 123 maybe?
That sounds about right.
I don't even know. Now I have to know. Let's see here.
I'm gonna say we're at 127.
We're at 122.
Oh. You're 122. You're much closer than I was.
122 and an 8. Okay. So it's a random episode of Action Features.
Well, sort of,
but a good chunk will be spent on a certain movie franchise that we've
become reacquainted with. You'll know about it.
Whoa. Okay, so you want to talk about random stuff first?
I only wrote down one thing, and I have something else that I just found out something else.
Yeah?
That's going to...
What did you find out? That's something that blew your mind?
Yeah. No, not really. First thing I have...
What? Look at that.
Brought that in for you. You want to split this?
No, you have it.
You want to split it, though?
No, you have it. No, I'm good.
My wife is picking up Olive Garden for me. You know, there's
Olive Garden?
Olive Garden. You know, they have a buy one, get one.
Oh, they have that now. Yeah, they've tried to match up with Maggiano's.
Yeah.
Buy one, get one.
You got to compete with Maggiano's because...
You have to. They're giving you two meals.
They're charging you $10 for a plate of pasta.
Yeah.
You know how cheap pasta is.
You know how cheap it is.
Pretty good. I'll think about this.
Don't think too hard about it. Just do it.
I'm not gonna think too hard. I don't know if I can eat the whole thing.
I'll split it with you. If it's a matter of you can't eat your dinner and have that, then I'll split it with you.
Man, it smells so good though.
They're so delicious.
This is a peanut butter cream pie.
Eat the half.
Yeah.
And it's a big size too. It's not a baby size peanut butter cream pie.
Not a baby.
Why don't you eat your half?
Yeah.
And if you still want the other half, eat the other half.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's weird.
And if you can't eat it, then I'll eat it.
Okay. New movie coming out called Killing Gunther.
I heard the trailer was up, and I totally forgot to watch it.
Yeah, watch the trailer.
I should watch the trailer.
It looks like basically a bunch of SNL cast members are wannabe assassins, and they have to take out the top assassin, who is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I've been looking forward to this one.
It looks like it might be a good vehicle for Arnold to be funny and also beat some people up.
Yeah.
And it'd just be kind of a... Not quite Commando, you know, but more in the vein of we're going to have a lot of fun and there's going to be some action and
That's what he needs to be doing right now instead of
trying
to recapture some of the old roles. I don't know how well, except for Conan. I think Conan is a...
I think that would be a good... Right, that'd be a good one.
Yeah.
Is that on or off now? Because
I think it's currently off.
I heard it was off.
But I don't know. Who knows, man? Speaking of Arnold, though, I took the boys to see Terminator 2 3D last night. It's a limited engagement. I think it only lasts till Friday, but the theater here, AMC, didn't have any showings for Thursday or Friday that I saw. So it may be that it's more limited at certain places than others, like maybe a shorter run. And I know a bunch of areas across the United States that there is no theater near people that it's even showing it. We talked a lot about, you know, movies and going to see them and paying for them, and then you come out disappointed and you wasted all this money. This one was one we went into it knowing that we were going to get our money's worth because we're going to see Terminator 2. And Blaze said that as we left the theater. He was like, man, it is nice. He's like, even though you're paying for the tickets, it is nice to go into a movie and know you're going to have a good time. And that way we're not spending all this money on something that, you know, isn't going to be a good time. Or sometimes most of the times it's not a good time. The 3D conversion, it was really good. It was unnecessary, but it was really good. It's almost like, especially the opening sequence, because the way he filmed that was there were different levels in the filming. Like they'd have one, you know, an animatronic character up front, and then they'd have like a smaller version in the background, and then that would be done in front of a rear projection screen. So there were already multiple layers to when he was filming, just so it would work. But I wonder if that helped with the 3D process, where it wasn't all created in one image.
But it did.
You know, and like a lot of times CGI is all created in one image. But that was created in three layers to begin with. And so it made the 3D thing worked really well. Like that Future War sequence in 3D was some of the best 3D that I've, like when I watched it, I'm like, okay, this is cool 3D. Like I actually am enjoying this. Usually I don't care about 3D. The glasses are a bother because I wear glasses. So glasses over glasses is annoying. But this one, I thought it was really neat. I thought that that part was really cool. The rest of the film, I didn't even really care. Like I'm watching it and I'm just trying to watch Terminator 2. The 3D thing wasn't really effective. You know, it was just watching the movie. But man, it looked beautiful. Because I guess they did a new HD transfer. What'd you say?
Keep going.
They did a new transfer of the film. And it was so clear and just clean. Like a lot of times with like the Cinemark classics and movies like that, where they're bringing back old movies, I think a lot of times they're just showing a Blu-ray or using, you know, a disc projection, and not so much that it's been made to be shown in a theater again. Whereas this, they really made it to be shown in a theater again. They did that transfer, that James Cameron did the 3D treatment, and man, it really showed. It looked great, and those effects hold up so well.
Have we done a Terminator episode?
I don't think we have. We have. We'll ask Blaze. We do need to do that. Terminator 1 and 2.
One for each, for the first two movies.
For the first two movies, and then maybe one episode after to touch on everything else that came after those two movies. And Arnold Terminator in Terminator 2 is just such a fun character to watch, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we were kind of, like, laughing and kind of cheering along and waiting for those big moments, because all three of us had seen it, where he's, like, in Cyberdyne, and he kicks the table out. He's got the minigun, and he's taking all the cars out, and it was just so cool, and it was still emotional too at the end when the Terminator, I think everybody knows how Terminator 2 ends.
You should.
Where he lowers himself in and has to say goodbye and know why you cry thing, and it was still kind of emotional. Like as I watched it, I was like, man, I still get the feels from this, you know, that watching this robot die is still emotional.
It's a robot you've come to love.
Yeah, like his old Yeller or something like that. But man, it was cool. And so you're probably going to be hearing this Friday. If there's a chance that your area still has it as you're listening to this, you should really go check it out. Terminator 2 in 3D. It's worth it just to see Terminator 2 on the screen again. Not so much the 3D thing, but watching Terminator on the screen again is pretty awesome.
Yeah. You know, I'm really disappointed I didn't get to see American Graffiti. They played at the drive-in here.
Yeah, I was excited for you when I saw that.
That really would have been the way to experience that, and I've been waiting for that to happen actually, and I just haven't checked and didn't get to it.
The Holiday Auto Theater, that's the one that showing it. They show some old movies sometimes. Like they'll do a multiple feature night. They'll do like a new movie and then like an older movie with it. American Graffiti would
have been a great one.
Really cool to see.
They'll probably do it again, I guess.
Yeah, I would think so. Okay, I have a couple more things written down if you want me to keep going.
You can keep going, or I can tell this thing.
Oh, go ahead, yeah.
I can just get it out of the way right now.
Yeah.
Well, you know the remaking Lord of the Flies.
Oh, I heard about this. Yep. Mike, I wonder how they're changing Lord of the Flies.
Well,
can you tell me?
Since men apparently are good for nothing and can't do anything, we're going to make everything with all women only. Even a movie like Lord of the Flies, where the story is really pretty much integral, it's integral that these are boys out here, and
not anymore.
I'm not gonna get into it. I'm just gonna say that it's so boring now. I'm so tired of. First of all, I'm tired of not being able to come up with anything new or original, and also to keep taking. Okay, we get it. We get it now. We get what you're doing. The mask has been, the curtain's been pulled away.
Yeah.
We get what you're doing now. Okay. Can we just let it be? You want to come up with your own story?
Then come up with your own story.
You want to come up with some girls stranded on an island?
Then do that.
Do that.
That's almost hurts your cause. Because you don't think you can come up with anything original and good that features like an all-female story like that.
Yeah.
That you feel like you can't, so you have to ride on the back of something else.
You have to take it, from,
it to
you
do
have to
it,
take it from somebody.
To make it something that's interesting. That's stupid.
It's
There's plenty of interesting original ideas you can come up with that would work, with an all-female cast like that.
Yeah. But same.
Awful.
Same thing. It's just that, and that, you know, once again, the masculinity and the young adolescent male is so important to that story, yeah, and how things, mm-hmm, unfold. And it's just, I don't know. I just saw it and I was like, okay, I'm just annoying. Done. I'm just going to,
the more stuff that you and I talk about, that we don't talk about on the show, but things that frustrate us about current projects and media and things, the less I am interested in anything new.
Well, that's what it is. I have a whole list of old movies that we've been watching, Alfred Hitchcock movies lately, kind of enjoying.
Oh, did you hear that they're doing a movie based like on the making of Psycho?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, I just saw that there was a clip for it out today. It's like got an odd name. It's like numbers, and I don't understand the significance. It's like, oh man, what is it?
That could be interesting.
Keep talking while I'm
There's something that I would, I'm interested in those kind of things. But we have been watching some Alfred Hitchcock movies. I'm really enjoying those. We watched Vertigo, last week, I think, and, just good acting, brilliant cinematography, keeps you engaged the whole time, a steady pace. Alfred Hitchcock does a good job of kind of bringing you into this normal world, this normal scenario, a normal situation, something that's not too out there. And then all of a sudden there's this twist to it and you're like, whoa, this, what in the world? Anyway,
I found it.
Yeah. You could hunt down old movies for the rest of your life and never run out of stuff.
Yeah, you can.
And I'm not, and I don't want to harp on it here. And I'm not saying that all new movies are bad, because I mean, we just talked about a new Arnold movie coming out that we want to see. And it's just, when I see stuff like this, I just want to unplug. I just want to shut my computer down and move on, because, I'm tired.
I'm in the same boat, exhausted, man. It's, the movie is called 78/52.
Hmm.
And it's, go behind the scenes of the most notorious, most influential, past most famous scene in movie history. So it's this first clip from this movie. I haven't watched this yet. So I'll check that out.
I haven't watched Psycho in a couple of years, but the last time I watched it, I was so disturbed by it that I sold it.
That you had trouble sleeping at night.
I said, I can't sleep. This is nuts, man.
I can't sleep in my house tonight.
And I knew what it was about, but the way it was filmed in the black and white and everything is so, so realistic. But we watched Psycho 2 recently, and that was pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good sequel.
It's pretty good.
It was pretty good.
Well, there's so many old... I'm doing the same thing where I'm going back and just rewatching old things. Like, I'm picking up old DVDs, just looking on Netflix or anything that's older, just to go back and enjoy films that I know I'm going to enjoy, and I won't be frustrated by the unoriginality or by the agenda that's being forced into the movie, or something
beat over
like
the head with, like, some kind of.
When we saw Terminator 2 3D, there was a trailer for Death Wish was on it.
Oh yeah,
and I was sickened by the trailer for Death Wish. Yeah. I was nauseous after just watching. I'm like, this is absolutely atrocious that they made this movie and they called it Death Wish.
Yeah,
it's horrible. And some people that's going to be their exposure to Death Wish. Like, I felt so bad because I looked over and I saw the kids, and I'm like, man. This would be, if I wasn't here and telling them, this is nothing like Death Wish. When you guys are old enough, you're going to watch the real Death Wish and see that this is a mockery of Death Wish.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people won't have that. They won't have that person there telling them, you should really check out the original of this before you watch this piece of garbage that's made to today's audiences. And I know we're in like kind of a soapbox here. We should probably not spend too much time on it.
I don't want to be on a soapbox.
Yeah, man. Go watch some old stuff. Just watch old stuff. There's plenty of old stuff. Look at all that stuff. They got lots of good stuff.
Lots of good stuff.
Speaking of new stuff that's probably going to stink, Joker movie. Did you hear about this? Did we talk about this last time?
No, but I heard about the Batman and Harley movie.
There's going to be a Joker-Harley movie with Jared Leto and what's her name?
Okay.
That's played Harley. And I guess that's maybe taking the place of Gotham City Sirens. Now, but there's also going to be, Warner Brothers is doing a Joker movie that's going to be based on a younger a character that gets bullied or something. And that's his turn into the Joker. that will be set completely separate from the DC universe that they've got going right now, and completely separate from that Jared Leto Joker. It's going to be the origin of a different Joker that has nothing to do with their other Joker. This seems like a brilliant move. I don't think audiences will be confused at all by that. Wait, no, it's not a brilliant move. It's a terrible idea.
Boy,
do we need a Joker movie?
Man, I don't think we need a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it's just keep throwing crap at the wall and see what sticks, Warner. Just keep trying it. Just see what happens.
The Joker.
The Joker movie.
Well, you know my policy on bad guys. I don't collect the bad guys.
I know you don't collect the bad guys.
So
Force Friday is tomorrow.
Oh, is it tomorrow?
Tomorrow's Force Friday. The day. Well, it's Force. It'll be Force Friday when you listen to this. It's the day the new Star Wars line hits for the new movie. And I got to tell you, Hasbro has done a pretty good job of keeping it under wraps for the most part. There's been leaks here and there, and there were a lot of reveals today for a bunch of product that I didn't know was coming. Like, yeah. I hadn't seen anything. And it's tomorrow, and it's going to be in the store tomorrow. That's kind of fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of neat that they were able to keep it hidden for so long in this day and age.
There's some neat stuff. We're going to get that Luke, old Jedi
Finally
Luke
getting old Jedi that Luke. Should have been out for Force Awakens.
Yeah.
So I may hit some stores tomorrow, just see what's...
You probably will, just see
what's... I probably won't buy anything, but I'll look at it to see what it's all about.
A lot of people might not buy anything.
A lot of people might not buy anything. We'll see about that. I did watch an episode of Small Wonder this week. I don't know why, I just grabbed the DVDs and said, hey, I'm going to watch an episode of Small Wonder.
You know that's a curse for this show, right?
I know, but I can't remember what episode we did the review, like the commentary on.
It was the same one with Gil Hibben on it, and it was... Oh, no,
I commentary.
Yeah.
Which episode of Small Wonder it was that we did commentary on. But I tell you what, it should have been this one. And give me a second, I got to get the DVD to see what the name of the episode
was. Go ahead
was.
And Hang get on. It. Maybe we'll... maybe we'll do another commentary of Small Wonder on this show. Y'all can chime in and tell us if you think that's a good idea or not.
Well, I'm going to tell you what happens to the episode, because we won't do that. We won't.
Okay.
All right, the episode is called... It's from Small Wonder Season 2, Disc 1, for anybody at home that has their own set.
Season 2?
Complete second season, Disc 1. Yeah, Charles got me Season 1 and 2.
I think he did.
The episode Sweet is called movie. Chewed Out. No, what would you think the episode Chewed Out would be about?
I would say maybe what's a kid's name?
Big J?
Maybe the Big J.
Jamie.
Gets in trouble. Maybe.
Well, he gets in trouble almost every episode.
What's her face? The Small Wonder.
Vicky.
Maybe Vicky learns the art of discipline, and she maybe she gets in trouble. And,
well. Okay.
I don't know.
It's not.
I don't know.
Well, Big J always gets in trouble, so that's a given. Okay. So in the episode...
maybe the dad gets in trouble.
I can't remember the dad's name. Is his name Ted?
Yeah, maybe.
The actor, maybe his name is Ted Lawson. I can't remember. Ted? No, Ted Lawson is his name on the show. Okay. I'm reading this. So Ted, he's having like a tough time at work. What's going on?
Van's camera's moving around.
Yeah, they do that all the time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So Ted comes, is having a tough time at work, and he comes home, and, Vicky and the mom are doing something in the kitchen. And, you know, Vicky, she's a robot and doesn't understand certain things. So she messes something up, but Ted takes out a cigarette and the wife is like, what are you doing smoking a cigarette? And he's like, oh, I've just been under a lot of stress and cigarettes were on the desk and I just decided to smoke them.
Mm-hmm.
And so she says, no, you're not going to do that. And she takes the cigarettes from him, throws them in the trash, right?
Yeah.
The Big J gets home with his buddy, and he talks about how it's his first year in junior high, and he's the low man on the totem pole now.
Mm-hmm.
Because sixth grade, he was like a senior in the elementary school, and now he's seventh grade, and he's got to do something to impress the older kids. So the mom and dad leave to go do something, and the Big J finds the cigarettes. So he and his buddy decide that they'll smoke the cigarettes in front of one of the older kids so that they think they're old.
Smart choice.
So, exactly. Very, very smart plan.
If you want to look
cool. You want to look cool. So, they decide to smoke in his room. And on the episode, the kids are smoking these cigarettes. They had to be fake cigarettes.
They're fake cigarettes, yeah.
But they were smoking them. And then, of course, the bratty neighbor girl, or whatever her name is, Harriet, maybe?
Harriet, that sounds right.
She catches him, and she makes a deal that he'll go on a date with her.
Okay.
She doesn't say anything about the smoking.
Okay.
Meanwhile, there's also another plot going on, how he Vicky drags the Big J out of his room in the morning, and he says, she's got to leave my room. I can't have her in my room anymore. And so they decide to move her into the parents' room. And remember that Vicky is a robot.
So far, I wouldn't have guessed any of this based on the title.
Exactly. So, hey, we're going to get there, though. So she has to sleep in her closet, right? So they're going to bring her closet into the parents' room. And you know that Ted is a horn dog in the show.
I know he is, yeah.
He's constantly making moves and, yeah. Hey, baby, at the wife, right? So you know that's going to end really well,
yeah.
What's happening there. So they did, meanwhile, the Big J and his friend, they invite a ninth grader in to the house. And he has to give him a baseball card for him to come there. And they start smoking the cigarettes. And the ninth grader's like, that's not cool. That's kid stuff. So they stop smoking the cigarettes. He says, you got to do chewing tobacco. That's what we do now.
Oh, okay.
And so he has some chewing tobacco, and he gives him the rest of the can of the chewing tobacco. And so he's like, maybe I'll talk to you at school sometime.
Cool.
So he leaves.
Cool.
Cool kid, right?
Yeah, that's cool.
So they start chewing tobacco. Meanwhile, the cupboard gets moved into the room, and Ted's trying to make some moves at night.
Yeah.
And they can't do it because Vicky's in the room. They get creeped out by the fact that she's in the room, so they make her go in the closet and turn around in the closet, but she can still hear and still see, and he's still trying to make moves, and it's really creepy.
There's been a couple things in that show where he's been doing stuff in front of Vicky.
It's super creepy.
And it almost seems like he created Vicky for...
Exactly.
Maybe not so
but
great.
But it's super duper creepy. The minute she's in the room and in the closet, he's making a move with the mom. Like, making a move, doesn't care that she's in the room.
Can't he turn her off? I've seen her carry around in pieces in a briefcase. He can't.
Well, he doesn't.
He can't turn her off.
He doesn't turn her off. He just keeps her in the room. Then she starts smoking inside the cupboard because she's got the cigarettes with her because that's where the Big J hit him.
Okay.
They find out that the Big J did the cigarettes.
Because
they
she go has
confront
lungs.
The Big J.
Yeah.
Yeah. They talk to the Big J. And he's like, well, I'm not doing those anymore. I've got chewing tobacco. And just starts chewing tobacco in front of his parents.
Okay.
He's like, well, the ball players do it. And they don't get sick. They wouldn't do it if they didn't want kids to do it too, right?
Yeah.
You're like, no, oh, and so then his solution is to have him chew a bunch of the chewing tobacco, and he makes himself sick, because yes. He accidentally swallows it, right?
Okay, yeah.
And she's like, wow, that's really, so now he's learned his lesson, right? Mm-hmm. Chewed out, chewing tobacco. That's,
okay, he's chewing point. The tobacco, yeah.
Well, the final scene of the show, the Big J's come home from school, or he's coming home from school, and Ted's like, well, I hope our troubles are over, and he's like with him at the school. And the mom has moved the girl back into the room.
Okay.
Immediately, which that was a weird subplot to have going at the same time as this episode. Big J comes home from school and he's kind of sad. And he's like, what's wrong? He's like, oh, you know, Jimmy, the ninth grader that came over here and gave me the chewing tobacco. And they're like, yeah, turns out he's got cancer. And that's how the episode ends. Out of nowhere, this kid's now got cancer. And he said, well, it's a tough way to learn the lesson, but I hope you know now that the chewing tobacco is dangerous.
Wow.
He's like, I do. And that's it.
Wow. By ninth grade.
By ninth grade, the kid's got cancer.
Full-blown cancer.
Full-blown cancer.
I've noticed a running theme in that show is
they went for it.
Get the episode to a point where they say, oh, wait a second, this isn't an hour show, this is only an hour.
Oh, we better wrap this up.
Better wrap it up.
That's exactly what this felt like. Yeah. Like, we don't think the Big J's really learned his lesson yet. Let's throw cancer in there, just to make sure that everybody knows that chewing tobacco is bad.
Let's drive this home.
So, that's what we should have done.
Wow. yeah, I'm fascinated by that show.
It's incredible.
It's really good.
It's really incredible. I had to find a cough drop. My throat's starting to tear up. Hang on.
Get a Ludens. You remember Ludens? They still make those?
I think so.
I think they do. Have a Ricola though. That's the way to do it.
All right. So that's everything I have written down.
Okay. Well, for whoever's left listening after our rant and a small wonder talk, we're going to talk about The Matrix. Mr. Sawyer.
Mr. Beckett.
Mr. Sawyer.
All right, so the Matrix films are on Netflix.
Yeah, okay.
I watched The Matrix the other day, and you were, when I told you, you said we were getting ready to watch that the other day.
Yeah, so we watched it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the first one,
it's pretty solid. It's pretty solid.
And it holds up pretty well.
Yeah.
You know, there's a couple of dodgy effect things here and there.
Yeah, what I noticed with the effects was more like the bullet time stuff, like the like where Trinity jumps up and the camera moves around. Yeah. It looked a little bit fishy, but it being in the Matrix, like Amy laughed at first, and I was like, and then
don't laugh.
And then she's like,
no, don't laugh. No, don't walk away.
She was like, I don't get it. I don't get what's going on. And I was like, just
because that's her first time seeing
just
it.
Just wait, exactly.
Yeah.
I was like, just hold on, just ride this out a little bit.
Yeah.
And then after it was over, she was like, can we get the other ones? Yeah. Okay.
So the all three are on Netflix, in case you don't want to go out and buy them, but they're all three on there. So I had watched the first one, and when I told you this, I was like, I'm not going to watch the other two. But then I watched the other two.
Yeah,
this is before you'd watched the first one to watch the other two.
You want to talk about the first one before we get to...
Okay, well, I'm just prefacing this that we did watch all three. Okay. Both of us. Well,
I didn't watch the last one. I didn't watch the third one yet.
But again, we both watched the second one, and I've watched the third one recently. And that way we can kind of give our thoughts on that first one in comparison to why we don't think there should have been two more. But anyway, so the first one, I think it's a great average man becomes the hero type story.
Yeah. There's a good progression,
a good journey for the character.
It's a good storytelling.
Yeah.
That movie, it's everything is like, you don't have to scratch your head too much. I mean, you want to be intrigued.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want to be like, what in the world is this about?
Yeah.
For the whole time. You don't want to get to the end of the movie and say, that none of it made sense.
Plus, they didn't overcomplicate it. Right. I don't think that they overcomplicated the idea.
No.
It was basically just, these people are plugged in. They are basically batteries. And they're being fed this. They're plugged into this thing. And they're given this kind of fantasy to keep them complacent and awake. And, you know, their minds running and stuff to power this whole thing. And some people have figured out that they're in this thing and escaped it, and they're getting other people out. And there's one character that is prophesized to know, to be able to control the whole thing, to be the one.
Yeah.
And so that's cut and dry. You don't need to overcomplicate it and tell me this, that, and the other thing, and explain where this thing comes from, and that's why this is that. It's just enough to get you going.
Yeah.
And the characters are enjoyable to watch.
Yeah.
I liked Morpheus. I like Neo. I like Trinity. I like all the side characters. I like Agent Smith.
Tank.
Dozer.
Yeah, it all gels really well. And when it came out, Bullet Time was really cool.
I mean, it was
brand spanking new, and nobody had seen anything like that before. And it made sense within the context of the film. And it's just good storytelling. And the progression, like I said, of the characters there, and I'm kind of blanking at the moment.
Well, I also liked how the movie ended.
Yeah.
And it was kind of open-ended, where you got Neo to a point, and then your own mind and your own imagination can fill in how it goes from there.
Yeah.
That we've got him to the point where he is the one, and you see that he has these abilities, and then you just are left at open-ended where he flies off, and it's like, okay, well, that's it.
Yeah.
He's going to free everybody's minds, and they're going to defeat evil. Mind. And it wasn't like you were left going, oh, gee, I wonder if he's going to win.
They should have played Free Your Mind by SWV.
That's what they should have done.
It did end on a high note. And for Pete's sake, what didn't hold up? Was there anything that didn't hold up for you?
Like I said, some of the CGI type stuff is a little bit dodgy. For the most part, I think everything kind of held up.
Most of it did.
You know, I thought the martial arts sequences were cool. I liked the gunplay. I thought that was neat. I'm trying to rack my brain here over even like where sometimes techno jargon can get dated.
Yeah.
Even that didn't feel too dated, like a Hackers or something like that.
Yeah, that didn't bother me.
Yeah.
The techno music kind of got a little old. And it's really not the fault of that film, because it got so used. Like, just about everything in there that didn't hold up is because it's been beat to death after the movie came out,
I think,
for me. But there's like, you know, the leather pants and the boots.
Exactly.
And stuff.
But that wasn't the fault of the film.
No, that was hot for the time. It was, you know,
it became super cool to wear dark clothes and what are they? Nehru jackets.
Yeah. They had the long jackets and the kind of the platform boots almost. And there were things like that I noticed at first, and I was like, well, just step back and put myself back in 1999 or whenever that came out, and or 97 or whatever. And in the context of the film,
they work.
Yeah, that works. That's fine. They put this stuff together in the heads.
I also liked the visual take of both the being inside the Matrix and the real world, how it had that greenish tint to everything when you were in the Matrix. And then when it was out, it was more of a vibrant coloring.
Yeah, it was very
more real world very color.
Yeah,
I thought that was really, it wasn't something you really noticed so much as being a difference until you got to the difference.
Less sterile.
Yeah, until you got to the real world and saw that there was a true difference between the look of this and the look of that. Maybe the sunglasses without the arms on Morpheus, maybe that's not so cool.
Yeah.
But it was different for the movie.
Yeah, it was what it was. I really enjoyed Morpheus.
I did too.
This time around. And I always have, but his character being the only one really who
believes
any of this stuff, and he's put everything on the line to seek it out. I mean, really, everybody's telling him.
And that's carried. That's one thing that's carried forward in the other two movies where he's the only one.
Yeah.
For the most part. And he keeps on believing, like he keeps on having faith in that Neo is going to be this thing, even to the point where others are kind of criticizing what he's doing. And I will say that Morpheus is probably the character that in all three films, I still kind of enjoyed, like as it carried forward. I was like, okay, I can kind of, follow this Morpheus guy.
Get into Morpheus.
Be okay with him, and I'm not as up. There's not as much egregious stuff happening in the sequels with him than there are with other characters, where it's like, oh, that's kind of obnoxious. What's happening here? So maybe Morpheus is the thing that you can enjoy in all three Matrix films.
I thought Trinity, the actress who played Trinity in this, really sold her part too. She, I've seen her pop up here and there in a couple things, and you just say, oh, there's Trinity.
She's in the Netflix Marvel stuff.
Okay.
She plays this lawyer, and she's introducing Jessica Jones, but she carries forward into Iron Fist. And I want to say she was in Defenders, too. But as I see her in that, I'm like, that's what kind of reminded me. That's what started the whole thing. I was like, man, I should watch The Matrix again, because she was good in The Matrix, you know? Okay, so I think that pretty much covers...
The first movie is solid.
Really being solid. The toys...
By N2,
we're kind of good.
Not bad.
That first wave was pretty good.
It's one of the better things they did.
It's one of the better things that N2 did was getting the Matrix license and putting out figures for that.
Yeah.
McFarlane got it the following films. Yeah. And those, I don't think, are nearly as good because he did the statue thing.
Well, he did the statue thing, and where the sculpt was fantastic.
Yeah.
And the paint apps were really great.
How many Matrix statues do you need?
Not many. You don't have room.
You don't have room for that.
The second film...
That's Reloaded, right?
Reloaded, yeah.
And then it's Revolutions. Now, which one... We saw one of them together at the theater.
We saw the third one together. I'm sure. We might have seen the second one together,
too. We may have done both. We may have gone to both together. Yeah. And maybe we saw the second one, we were like, that wasn't that great. And then we went to the third one hoping it would be the capper and be good. Yeah.
Well, you really know, the second one... I remember being blown away by that big fight with him and all the Agent Smiths. That was a big deal.
Yeah.
When that came out, because it was just like this massive...
I didn't like that.
...thing. No, watching it this time around?
Yeah.
No, it was awful. Let's get on to the second movie.
Yeah.
I didn't hate it. I wasn't like... You know, I wasn't, you know, ready to shoot myself.
Yeah.
But there were several things that did not work for me, and the whole thing
totally
feels to me like, really, they had one story, they made it
exactly,
it was good, it was a big hit, and they said, well, we got to put something else together.
Oh, this made some money, people like this,
and they capitalized.
Well, how can we move forward?
Yeah, something we didn't say about the first movie is that once it gets to the end, that should be it, that's the end of that story, that is that's it. This movie, it's just all over the place to me, story wise it's like,
well, it stinks because you get to the point at the end of the first film where in your head you go, okay, he's the one. He's shown it now. The controlling interest that's got all the humans captive should be running scared because he can control the Matrix. That's it. It's the end of the story. There's nothing they can do. He's the one. to do sequels, you have to backtrack on that and make it so that he's not as all powerful as what you say is. And there's ways of combating it or there's a way around that story. So right off the bat, you've got him going into a fight in the beginning going upgrades. Where they've now upgraded. Why would they need to upgrade?
Why would they
not be at the upper as high as they could go already?
At the beginning, right. At the end of the first movie, he stops bullets with his mind. He puts one out of the air and he tosses them all down. He jumps into the body of Agent Smith and explodes him. He blows him up.
Blows him up.
From the inside. What else is there really? So we get to the second movie and then they get into it and they're having all these hand-to-hand combat fights. I understand that that's part of what the
Matrix movie is about. Yeah.
But once you reach that point, what is the point?
You've moved past the point where hand-to-hand combat is necessary.
Yeah, you took it way
It's like Yoda.
Far. Yeah.
Being a Jedi Master, you've moved past the point where a lightsaber is necessary. You know, it's you don't need to do that anymore. And somehow they've brought Agent Smith back, and now he's no longer part of the system. He's his own rogue program.
That was
silly.
That was a thing that seemed like a waste to me. It seemed like
and that he could replicate himself.
It seemed like that was a just so you could have more of him, or just they figured out how to do that liquid, that outer body liquid effect, and they said, "Well, what can we do with this? Oh, maybe somebody's cloning.
Maybe he does this.
Maybe he's cloning himself.
Yeah, he's just cloning himself now."
But that he didn't seem to be like he was a rogue, so he was a bad guy. But aside from the giant squid robots in the real world, I wasn't quite sure what they were.
Yeah,
who's the villain here? This guy is just showing up randomly. It's like Darth Maul. He's like the Darth Maul of the Matrix. He just shows up randomly and they have a fight and then he's gone. There was one scene where they were fighting and they were fighting for a long time. I can't remember if it was him or Neo or Trinity. And then they're kind of getting beat up a little bit and they go, "Killer," or "kill him." And they pull out their guns and start shooting. I'm like, why weren't you doing that?
Why weren't you doing that before?
Why didn't you just do that? At the beginning, why is Trinity going into the Matrix now when Neo can go in and he can stop bullets with his mind?
He can do whatever. He doesn't really need help.
He can do everything.
Yeah,
he's flying now in this one. In the second one, he's flying. Like
he's flying around like he's Superman.
He's doing his Superman thing.
That's what they said.
What Mercutio from
And it's way too much in the real world.
It's a lot of time spent in the real world,
and I'm not interested in the real world. I'm watching the Matrix, not the real world.
Right.
So every time they were spending so much time talking about the human plight and how they've got these cities that are hiding and all these, there's Zion. It's this giant city. We have giant parties outside.
Yeah.
It was just like, this is obnoxious. I don't want to watch. I don't get back in the Matrix because that's what we're watching it for. We're watching, if you're going to do a sequel, people want to see Neo doing the things at the end that he was doing.
Yeah.
And not all this real world stuff where he can't do anything.
Yeah.
Where he's just some dude.
I wouldn't be in the real world. I would plug into the Matrix.
I'd always be in there flying.
I'd be like, what's his face in the first one? The guy who makes the deal to go back.
Cypher.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry about a little glitch there.
Talking about the whole subplot with Morpheus and the guy that hates him down in the Zion. And he's wearing the Star Trek captain shirts. And then they have a council. They have a big meeting and the guy with the, he is wearing a captain shirt too. He's wearing a red shirt.
It's bizarre.
It's just like, what is going on? Well, I don't care about any of this stuff.
Yeah.
Why are you guys still upset with Morpheus? They're like, Morpheus is the rogue and he's not following orders. He found this dude
who
did all this stuff and he did everything. Why are you doubting this?
Exactly. And they have this whole thing where there's this hero worship going on for Neo, or they're laying stuff out and, so there's tons and tons of people that know what Neo can do.
Right.
So Morpheus has proved it. Okay. So that's it. Morpheus gets a pass on whatever he wants to do now because he found Neo. He believed in it. What he said was true. This guy can do all these things. Let's let Morpheus do his thing then.
Morpheus can do it. Also, there was the segment where they go see the French guy.
Yeah, that was weird.
I don't know.
Because they go to the French guy because they need to get the key master.
Because he's got the key master.
The key maker.
That's whatever. What it is.
And they
find him, and it's this little guy in a room, and he's making
keys
as a captive of the French guy.
Yeah. Because the French guy's an old program, And so he takes other programs, and this is what we're talking about from the first one, where they didn't overcomplicate it. They way overcomplicated
really complicated.
In the next things. Now, that one, I'm trying to remember how that one ends versus how the next one takes place. Did he go and meet with the Maker guy at the end of the second one? Or is that the third one where he meets the Maker guy, the programmer guy?
I don't remember.
Main program guy. It may be the third one.
Maybe the third one. He meets the
Oracle. They bleed together.
Yeah, he meets the Oracle again.
Yeah.
In the park, and you find out that she's... What is she?
She's an old program. She's a program, too.
She's a program, and it's like...
And she's gone off the grid or something.
But that whole meeting was there...
It's so ridiculous. Like, basically it's for so nothing. Convoluted.
And then she just is like... Oh, I'm leaving, sugar. Okay. Yeah. And then a bunch of Agent Smiths show up and they have a fight in the park and then he just flies away after doing all this fighting. Why would you risk it? Why wouldn't you just fly away to begin with?
Totally.
Lots of stuff like that. The French guy and then his wife is there and she's so unhappy with her husband that...
Because he cheats or something and he doesn't look at her like he looks at other things.
Yeah, he doesn't look at her like Oh, there was a weird...
The whole weird sequence with the program and her eating the piece of cake or whatever?
Yeah, he put something in
that
her cake...
That is ridiculous.
...to get her...
we don't need to say
I'm
it,
I'm not going to get on here detailed, but it is really graphic and weird.
It's very graphic and weird.
And I was like, what just happened? I mean, it's suggested, but I was like, did she get...
It's not just suggested, it's blatant.
Did she get diarrhea?
It's not diarrhea.
Did she get diarrhea?
It's something else, but... Yeah, and over the top, and it was unnecessary to be in the film.
She gets up from the table real quick and leaves, and it's like, when, what?
Yeah, it's...
I've never seen that reaction.
It was implied that something else happened.
Yeah, so...
But it was just unnecessary.
It was a waste of...
It's totally unnecessary.
And he spent a good... They spent a good amount of time there.
And it's an effect, too. Like, they did this whole effect where it's like in a wireframe, so you see her of the Matrix, and...
She, so the French guy's wife will help them, but she only will do it if Neo kisses her.
Which is silly. Because she's a program.
Plus, what are you going to get from this kiss?
Yeah.
She's like, oh, he kisses her. And she's like, well, that didn't feel real enough. Oh, it's my mom. I'm not going to take it.
It's not, no offense. We're just trying to get to the episode.
Come on. One. Okay. And then he kisses her for real, and this whole thing seems to be set up just so that Trinity can be jealous.
Which during it's a this program. Time.
And I'm thinking, like, is Neo so hot? Is he just so hot that
he's just so hot right
he just
now.
Walks into a room with that giant priest robe and women are just they have to just get I just please just kiss me and then I'll risk my life.
That's what I
mean, you with this whole thing.
And that's where it again gets into it's getting too complicated because now this program has evolved to the point where it's got jealousy and it wants to kind of hurt somebody else because she wants her to see him kiss her and see that there's love attached
is
to it or something.
She's
a program.
She's a program. Okay.
She's a program and he's a program.
So he is also a program.
He's an old rogue program.
Right. Okay.
And somehow he's taken the Keymaker, which is another program that's gone off the grid. And so the whole point is that they get him so they can go and get into the mainframe or something.
There's got to be a mainframe somewhere.
Well, they get to the mainframe. This may be in the second film. But they get to him, and he basically spills the beans that, and this is ruining it if you haven't seen the film, that there's been multiple Neos over time.
Oh, yeah.
And that it's an anomaly that they have to let it work itself out. Right. And this is how it works itself out. And this is their way of culling it out each time or something is to let the scenario play out. It's way, way too
convoluted.
Much.
So he's,
too complicated.
So he's not the one.
He's not.
He's one of the
ones. But he is the one because he doesn't do what they usually do or something. It's really ridiculous. But then he carries somehow the ability to control the machines out of the Matrix. And that puts him into a coma. And then he wakes up from the coma because they boot him back in. That's at the end of the second film.
Okay.
He zaps that one sentinel that's coming.
Yeah.
Because he can hear him and can control him now. And then they put him back in to take him back out. And so then they find out that Agent Smith is going to control the whole Matrix and he's destroying it or something. And it's as confusing as I'm trying to or as less confusing as I'm trying to make as I'm saying it, it's becoming more confusing to me as I talk about it.
Yeah.
It's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
They've gone way beyond the point where it makes any sense whatsoever.
There were things in it too that,
did you get the third one has the subway station? Does the third one have the station?
I don't know.
Okay, so the third one opens up where he's stuck in the Matrix and his body's in a coma in the real world.
Okay.
So he's in a train station or subway station, and they're shuttling out this program. These programs have had a kid, and they've got to get the program kid out of the thing. So they talk to the guy that runs the train. He's an old program, and it's the only way in and out of the Matrix now is through him. It's off the grid somehow. It's,
and I don't know, what about these,
it's ridiculous.
This guy makes these ghost programs, the twins with the dreadlocks, the albino guys.
I kind of like the twins. I thought they were kind of a neat
effect. Well, they're kind of a neat effect, but once again, they can just turn into an apparition.
Why weren't those the things that they're fighting everybody then?
Why bother fighting at all? Why are they fighting?
Yeah.
Why is Morpheus carrying a sword in this scenario?
It makes no sense.
Why
aren't all the agents like that?
They're that giant. There's so many things. There's like, Morpheus told me never to go on the highway because it would be suicide.
Why?
Why?
Why is it suicide?
Why is it suicide to go on the highway? This is a world that the programs have created to mimic the real world.
Couldn't it be suicide everywhere then?
Yeah.
But it seems like it's more open there. Seems like you're going to get away easier.
You're in a car.
You're in a car.
You can drive faster. Apparently very limited. And there was like weird editing things where like Neo, he jumps up and he flies away at one point. And then you're like 15 minutes of the movie without
any Neo.
Without any Neo. And then Trinity's fallen from the window. And it's like, whoosh, here he comes. He's flying in.
He
like,
saved her.
So we've just been flying around for a long time until like, it's just edited weird.
It was very weird.
It was
the only thing I enjoy.
I was really ready to be done by the time it was over, but.
Like, I carried for the Morpheus thing. I did enjoy that.
Yeah.
And I was telling you this, too, the other day, was that when Agent Smith, even though it's silly, when Agent Smith is able to bring himself into a human's body, that's not too convoluted and crazy to think that the agent isn't, they inhabit people.
Yeah.
We saw that. And so when a person jumps back out of the Matrix, if he gets into them, now he's Agent Smith in the real world.
Yeah.
I thought that was an interesting take on it. Yeah. That's a good way to take that character forward. If you're going to bring him back,
he's going to infiltrate the real
world. To make him infiltrate the real world. That was interesting. Not making multiples of him inside the Matrix. That's not interesting to me. But I thought the actor did a good job of mimicking what Hugo Weaving was doing inside the Matrix.
Yeah.
Thought that was interesting. But it's kind of wasted. Like he goes off and does a thing, and then he has a little fight with Neo, and Neo gets his eyes burned up.
Okay.
And that's about it. Neo goes blind, too, in the real world.
Okay, I forgot
fighting
about
that guy.
Okay.
And so now he has his eyes. He can't see anything, but he can see the Matrix things somehow in the real world. He has Matrix vision.
He has Matrix
in the real world.
In the real world.
In the real world, he has Matrix vision.
Okay.
So
I'm not buying that.
So exactly. Yeah. Now you've made the real world characters even more far-fetched. So now he's the one in the Matrix, and he's got superpowers in real life, too.
Yeah.
Which is silly. That's getting silly.
The whole,
That's silly. Yeah, the Matrix trilogy is a prime example of just too much.
Yeah.
It's just too much. You should have left it alone, and it's just too darn much. You know, like it's ruining a good thing.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you're doing.
Didn't start out to be a bash fest here, but I'm trying to think of something good from the second movie. Like I said, I wasn't hating it as it was going, but there's so many things that really didn't add up.
Yeah.
But the first movie is still enjoyable. And
it's kind of stinks because neither you or I have gone back to the first movie because of the sequels.
Yeah. After I got through the third one, I was like, okay, I've
had enough. I'm good on Matrix now because they really bashed that into the ground. They took something that was good and just bashed it into the ground for profits. It was just to make more money off this franchise. So it took a long time until I got back to that first one. That's the first time I'd watched it in a long time. And as I watched it, like, wow, that was really good. Like, I wonder why I haven't watched this again in so long. And then I watched the sequels and realized why I haven't watched it in so long.
I think because when we saw the
such a poor job.
Third one in the theater, they did an ad for Equilibrium.
That's right.
And we were like, what is this? And they were like, it's better than The Matrix. I was like, nothing's better than The Matrix at the time.
Yeah.
I was wrong. Equilibrium is pretty good. Maybe not better than the first Matrix, but it's
definitely better than the second two.
Equilibrium is a really good movie if anybody has not seen it. Christian Bale, early in his career.
Well, if you haven't seen The Prestige, it's The Matrix meets The Majestic.
Oh, right. Because he was...
Because the other day I couldn't remember the name of The Prestige and I called it The Majestic. And then I said, what's this review? Ah, it's The Matrix meets The Majestic. I don't even know what The Majestic is. Is it a movie about a theater? Or something like that? It's a movie about a movie theater.
I don't know.
I think it is.
I was not interested in it.
All right. So don't watch the second two Matrixes if you haven't. Just watch the first one.
It's okay.
Just watch the first one.
Watch the first one again. It's pretty good. And watch Equilibrium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Watch those movies.
Yeah.
Coming up soon on the show, one of the Four Horsemen has agreed to come on. We still got to figure out scheduling. But there's okay to talk about it here.
It's okay to say.
When the Power Lords pre-order starts up at sourcehorseman.com. I'm not going to say which one, but one of the Four Horsemen has agreed to come on the show and talk to us about the pre-order and you know, just toys in general.
Not of the apocalypse, but the toy sculptor.
But the toy sculpting team. So that'll be fun.
Yeah.
So we have that to look forward to in September at some point. But that's all I can think of that we've got to look forward to on the show. So sorry.
Don't be sorry. That's sorry a pretty cool that. Thing.
It's a pretty cool thing. You got anything else to say, or are we going to sign off on this?
I just want to say goodbye. That's all.
All right. Well, goodbye then.
Okay. Goodbye.
Boy, it's singing while I got that music going.
It wouldn't start.